You are tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 95. We're the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin, and we're a proud member of the Comic Book Podcast Network. My name is Tom Harris. I'm the host of the show. I live in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks very much for listening. Welcome to the show. So before we get into our review this week, I just wanted to read out a couple of emails. Yes, we got email, not one, but two emails. So let me start with the more important one first. Just kidding, folks. All of your emails are equally as important, but yeah, this is the first one I got. So I'm going to read them in the order that I received them. And the first email comes from Scott, a.k.a. Zombie Casher. And Scott actually found out about the show through another podcast, the Chicago Geocacher podcast. And remember what I was talking about, I think it was a couple of episodes ago now, about cross-advertising other people's podcasts? It works, folks. I mean, we wouldn't have Scott without that. Anyway, here's what Scott had to say. I've been listening since Walton Scott used your podcast as a show question. Yeah, we were a contest question. I'm not really into comics and knew almost nothing about Thor except from what I learned from the recent movies. But now I enjoy them more and I'm learning, thanks to you. I particularly enjoy your performance readings of each issue. Fantastic. Signed, Scott, a.k.a. Zombie Casher. Well, thanks a lot, Scott. I really appreciate that. And, you know, hit me up if you see me on the trail. I'm not doing a lot of geocaching during the winter, but I do a lot of it when the weather is a little bit nicer. And maybe I'll run into you at one of the events one of these days. And so we have a second email here. And this is from Mark in Stratford, Ontario. So I wonder if he knows Scott Coles, because Scott lives in Stratford as well. Mark says, hello, Tom. I've been listening to your show for a while now. I found you on iTunes. I like Thor, but I don't understand what it has to do with radio. Okay. Well, thanks, Mark, for listening. I do appreciate, of course, all of the listeners. Yeah, that's a good question. What has to do with radio? And we have, the opening sequence with the shortwave radio noises, which I think is a little bit too long. But no, Mark, you know, it's funny because this is kind of a topic I would talk about on my other show when I do my other show. But way back in the old days, this is back when my late teens, early 20s, this is definitely in the days before the internet. I mean, I had a computer, but it was a Commodore 64 with a 300 baud modem. I used to spend a lot of time listening to shortwave radio, and I think I talked about this a little bit in the very first episode of the show, but I used to really enjoy listening to shortwave, and I would listen to, well, frankly, some of the stations that we use the interval signals for in our opening themes. BBC World Service, Radio Deutsche Welle, Radio Prague International, Radio Moscow, Radio Canada International. There are all sorts of different stations that I would listen to and really love the idea of listening to these signals from far, far away. To me, the whole shortwave thing is very evocative of hearing messages, perhaps difficult to understand messages, from far away places. And how much would I love to get a radio signal from Asgard? And so that's kind of the way I think about it. And hopefully other people glom onto that too. I understand that, you know, nowadays with the internet, young people don't know what shortwave is. You can listen to the BBC World Service still, but you can do it by going to bbc.co.uk and clicking on a link. And that's true for a lot of these other stations that broadcast from other countries. I guess they still broadcast on the airwaves too, but you can get them on the internet easily. And of course, the advantage of getting them on the internet is you don't have to fight through other radio signals to try to hear what the people are saying. To me, that was always part of the fun, is trying to figure out whether they were speaking English or not, and if they were, what they were saying. And at that point, it didn't matter what the programming was. I got to hear all sorts of interesting stuff back then. But I'm really digressing here, so I want to get away from this and kind of back to what we're talking about this week. But back before the internet, shortwave was about all you had. And like I was saying, a lot of the younger people today don't really realize that there was a time when, you know, you could listen to foreign news only over shortwave because they didn't broadcast foreign news into the States. You didn't get it. You know, back then there were three networks. It was ABC, NBC, and CBS. And of course, you'd have on UHF dial, you'd have your local independent stations, and you would have PBS. So it was a whole different world back then. And yeah, maybe I'm just showing my age. Yeah, I'm old. I cried when the dinosaurs went extinct. Okay. Anyway, So thanks, guys, for your emails. I really do appreciate it. Now, speaking of emails, as I've been talking about the last couple of episodes, we are going to have an episode that is a retrospective of the Walt Simonson run on Thor. And what I've decided to do is to have that section of the show be in episode number 100. I was kind of, you know, kind of hemming and hawing about that. But I think that if I do it in episode 100, it's going to leave people enough time to prepare something. And I really, really would love to hear from people either with an audio file or something written or, yeah, whatever. I mean, we'd love to hear from you. And of course, the email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And I really do appreciate when people give feedback because it lets me know what I'm doing wrong or doing right or whatever. All right. So with that being said, let's move on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So this week we're going to be covering Thor, God of Thunder, number 4. Yeah, I bet you thought I'd forgotten all about that. Well, I was trying to get to the end of the Simonson run. But now we're back on track, hopefully. So we'll have issue 4 this week and possibly issue 5 next week, hopefully. Anyhow, this issue has a cover date of March of 2013, retail for $3.99. Cover art is by Esad Rebic and shows Old Man Thor, Ancient Thor, in his armor, sitting on a futuristic-looking throne. He's got a sword in one hand, and he's got no arm on the other hand. But we can see that Mjolnir is sitting here on the throne beside him. And in the background, these sort of futuristic-looking towers, which are rendered a bit incongruous by a flaming brazier, is also sitting behind him. And we see his fake arm, the destroyer arm, laying on the ground next to him. So let's open up the issue, and we have a Dr. Pepper ad, 10 manly calories, yeah. And of course we have the splash page, which is the same splash page that we have had in the previous 4 issues, showing young Thor, modern day Thor, and old Thor. And of course we also have the credits. It's the same gang as last time, but it's been a while, so I'll go ahead and tell you who the gang is, because you may have forgotten. Jason Aaron was the writer. Esad Rebic was the artist. Eva Svartzina was the colorist. VC's Joe Serino was the letterer. Oliver Quapel and Laura Martin did the variant cover, which we don't have. Jake Thomas was the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonso was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. But we also have the title of the story, The God Butcher, Part 4 of 5, The Last God in Asgard. We turn the page here and the scene is set. Asgard, thousands of years from now, and we can see the defeated Thor, future Thor that is, being carried somewhere by these shadow creatures, this much like the watchdogs that he's been bashing in the previous few issues. And we have some Thor narration here.
As darkness comes over me, as all pain fades, I find myself floating. Floating through Asgard, past the broken shards of the Rainbow Bridge, past the statues of the fallen, past the crypt where I buried my mother and father, my wives, and all of my children. I feel myself floating on, but I am not dismayed. I go with a glad heart. I go to be with my family at long last. I go to hell. There will be no grand funeral for me in Asgard, no songs sung of my passing, no monuments erected. This ruined hunk of rock that was once the realm eternal, this shall be my tombstone and the testament to my failure. Asgard deserved better. It deserved a better king. I was always more suited to swinging a hammer than I was to wearing a crown. Ultimately, I wasn't fit to hold either. I lived far too long. That was my greatest mistake. Long enough to see everyone I ever cared for die. Long enough to see the true end of all things. There are no more Ragnaroks here at the end of time. No epic battles, no hopes of resurrection or rebirth. There is only one sad old god withering away in shame and silence. Relieved, that is finally over.
And we see these shadow creatures are carrying him back to his castle, which is very interesting. And they don't seem to be making any move to kill him, though he looks like he's in pretty bad shape as they're carrying him around. I love the artwork here, and you see the ruins of the city of Asgard, and it looks like it's been ruined for a long time. It doesn't look like it just happened recently. All the various destroyed buildings, and of course they carry him up the grand stairway into his throne room. And unlike the throne room in the Simonson and Buscema issue that we covered last issue, you can make out the shape of this throne room. You definitely can see basically the shape of this room. And the shadow creatures, they just place him on his throne again, which is interesting. And so King Thor is kind of, where am I? And he's kind of half delirious here. And the shadow creatures just leave him there and walk away. I know the feel of this seat. I know it all too well. This isn't the afterworld. He's kind of regaining consciousness there. No, this isn't. Wait, come back. Come back here, you wretched dogs! Come back here and kill me! The God Butcher. He wouldn't even give me that one small victory, will he? He won't even let me die. And next page we have an ad for Avengers Assemble, number 12. We have in the ad, we have a gecko. We have Hawkeye and the Black Widow and Spider-Woman. I want to know how Spider-Woman gets her hair to do that. Anyway, if you see the ad, you'll know what I mean. And I know where this came from. This came from back in Spider-Woman's original book when Carmen Infantino was drawing the book. And he always did her hair with this sort of wave to it. And it would be kind of floating around above her head and stuff. And I guess this artist is still maintaining that. Anyway, she must use a ton of hairspray is all I can say. All right, so we then shift scenes to present-day Earth. Now, if you remember, present-day Thor went back to the cave where apparently he defeated the God Butcher the first time around, so back during the Viking days. And if you remember, he met this sort of tentacly alien in this cave, and it was really scared of him. Thor is trying to find out what this creature is. He's like, who are you?
I'm the sort of god you don't meet every day. A god who has looked upon the face of gore and lived. Like you, yes? The mighty Thor. Oh, how I've heard him talk about you. I was called Shadrach of the Diamond Moons of Ogogo. I was the god of wine and waterfalls until the god Butcher. I don't know why he left me alive, why he made me watch as the Black Berserkers slaughtered the rest of my pantheon. It seemed to amuse him the more I screamed. Every day I begged him to kill me next, but instead he cut off all my eyelids, so I had no choice but to see. He is truly an artist, you know. I mean that. The things he can do with that weapon of his, the things that he showed me. Gods are such beautiful creatures. I've never been so sure of that because I've seen what they look like on the inside. I'm not certain, but I think I may have gone mad at some point.
Yeah, it seems that way to me. And it continues to tell Thor his story.
I escaped while he was murdering Jennero, a god I had known since childhood. He was the god of friendship. I knew this cave was one place Gore would never set foot again. The way he always described it was more like it was sacred to him. He says he owes to you a great debt for what you taught him here. That's why he's saving you for last.
Where is the god Butcher now? How do I find him?
There's no need to go looking for him. He'll find us all soon enough. His rage will never die. It's the weapon that keeps him alive. It's a part of him now, thanks to you. You will see once he comes. You will see how pretty your friends are without their skins.
Tell me anything you know about where he's headed or what he's after, and I promise you I will keep you safe.
I don't know anything, do I? Only things I heard being screamed. The secrets he cut out of others. Chronix. There was Chronix, of course, but... Oh, no, no, we should not talk of these things, not even here.
Chronix. I don't know this word. What is this? Is it a god?
And the alien guy is kind of cowering here.
Just leave me be. Just let me hide here until the end of time. I quite like eating bugs and sleeping in mud, better than I do being butchered.
Just come with me, Shadrach, and I swear to you the god butcher will never touch you again. Come with me, and he puts his hand out for this tentacly guy to grab a hold of it, and starts whirling his hammer around. And we shift scenes back to Omnipotent City, Nexus of all the gods. Remember, we were here, I think it was last issue. Back to the library, yes. Thor and Shadrach have arrived here, and Thor's like, Librarian! Lord High Librarian, we seek your aid! And Shadrach is scared.
I've changed my mind. I'd like to go back to the cave now.
You're safe here. These are the halls of the All-Knowing. If there is a god called Chronix anywhere in the universe, here we will track him down. Librarian! Where the devil is that bitter old? And they turn a corner and they find the librarian with his wings ripped off, and he's just kind of laying in the hallway there, but he's alive. And he's like, ugh. He's like, Lord Librarian! And Shadrach is panicking.
No! Oh no! If only I could close my eyes!
And Thor is looking around, and we see some of the shadow creatures that serve Gore the God Butcher, and they're putting the torch to the library. So we have flames, they're kind of leaping up all over the place, and these shadow creatures, they look like dinosaurs. When you see them in the kind of the light, they have the heads of like raptors or tyrannosaurs, and they've got like stegosaurus plates, and they kind of, I don't know, it looks like they have two tails, which is kind of interesting. Not really sure about that. But anyway, they kind of look vaguely dinosaurian when you see them in light. And then we have blackness. And I think this is a change of scene here. Pretty sure that's what this is. We have a voice.
Wake up, God of Thunder. Now is not the time for sleep.
And we see Gore the God Butcher, and he's crouching over Thor. The Thor is the Viking Age Thor, so he's young Thor, and Thor's hanging upside down, apparently inside the cave. It says 493 AD, which squares with what we've had in the prior issues, and Gore is sitting on a rock, just kind of chit-chatting with Thor. Thor's chained up, he's tied up upside down, hanging from the ceiling.
Now is the time for suffering and for talk.
Take these chains off me and I'll show you suffering, you snake-faced coward!
That is not the sort of talk I had in mind. You will tell me all you know about the many gods of this world, including your family and every last one of your friends. You will tell me where to find them. In Asgard, was it? Then you will tell me what you see as you watch me kill them.
Wrap me in as many chains as you like, butcher. All I'm ever going to tell you is to go to hell. Yeah, the god butcher is kind of amused by this.
I am not exactly a novice in the ways of torture. You understand, I once tortured a god of torture. After an evening alone with me, he told me where his own children were hiding.
I will kill you!
Fight all you like. These bonds have held 1,000 gods before you, some the size of mountains.
Well, they're awfully small chains to hold a god the size of a mountain, but hey, I do suppose they could be really stretchy chains. Artistic license.
They all start out so full of confidence and rage, so convinced of their own blessed immortality, until I show them what they really are. What their mothers are, their lovers, their infants. Their meat, just like the rest of us, little god. Meat and bone and blood and innards. I will show you your true face, Thor of Asgard, by peeling away this mask of flesh you wear.
And I will chew out your eyeballs with my teeth, you bleating! Gore has sent out like this shadow stuff that comes out of him that we've been talking about and is like strangling Thor with this stuff from the inside.
I so rarely get to take my time anymore. There are so many gods in need of attention after all. There was an immortal on a world long ago who dared ask me if I was a god myself. Now with him I indeed took my time. All gods have their breaking points. It took me 9 days to find his, and his flesh was made of stone. I am hopeful that you will keep me entertained for at least half as long. And we hear screams, "Rarrr!" as we see the outside of the cave. And we shift scenes again. This is goes back to present-day Thor, and he's trying to put out the flames in the library, and there's lightning shooting around, and Gus, he's hammering on these shadow guys, and the shadow guys are after Shadrach. And he's like, "No, please, I'm not going back to Gorr. He can't make me watch anymore." And Gorr lunges at one of the shadow guys, who promptly gets knocked out with a book. Thor hits him with a book, and the librarian's still alive, and he kind of is recovered at this point and says,
"Lovely friend you brought with you, God of Thunder."
"They're black berserkers, and they're after something, trying to hide something from Chronix. Lord Librarian, where are the books on the god called Chronix?"
"Chronix isn't a god, you imbecile. It's a world, a hidden one, and the only book that can tell you where to find it is over there, burning."
And he points, and Thor has this look on his face like, "Duh?" And goes racing off after this book, and is like, "Thor!"
I don't see if Thor leaves his hammer laying around a lot in these issues. We then shift scenes back to the future, thousands of years in the future, where old King Thor is kind of creeping his way down these stairs from his throne. And you can see he's bleeding, and he can barely move, basically. And we have a little bit more of his exposition here.
"I will not sit on that blasted throne a second longer. If I cannot walk to my death like a god of the Vikings, I will crawl to it like a wounded dog."
And he gets outside, and you can see the city is ruined, and like there's smoke rising from some of the buildings, and he's like... He summons his hammer to himself, and you see these shadow creatures are out here. They're trying to lift the hammer, and of course they can't because they're not worthy, obviously.
Thor's like, "Come, you dear old friend, show me there's still some magic left in these dead halls."
And the hammer just zaps its way through this crowd of shadow beasts and smashes a bunch of them in the head. And it comes to Thor's hand, and Thor starts to rise, and he's saying,
"For Asgard."
And then you hear a giant whaboom as Thor smashes on the ground, apparently. And we shift scenes and we're back. We have one of these transitional pages. So we have, at the same time that old King Thor is whabooming, we have the screaming young Thor in the cave hanging upside down. And just looking at this one panel, you can kind of see why this is such a nasty little torture. And you have the shadow stuff. It's all over Thor's face, and it's in his mouth. And you can just imagine that Gorr is insinuating the shadow stuff all through Thor's body. This is probably how he tortures all these other gods from the inside out. So pretty nasty there. Looks very unpleasant. And we have present-day Thor opening up a flaming scroll, and it looks like he's kind of on fire himself, and his cape is on fire, and he's standing there reading the scroll. And the fire's going on, and the librarian's there.
"Damned useless enchantments! Where the devil are those water pixies? I don't suppose you're a god of sprinklers, are you?"
And he's talking to Shadrach here. It's like,
"I am Shadrach, god of songs and somersaults."
"Terrific. Try rolling around in that fire to put it out."
And Thor summons Mjolnir to himself. He's like,
"Your book burned to ash in my hands, librarian, but I read all I need. I fly to Chronix, the palace of infinity."
And Thor takes off, and we see the little water sprites now, kind of avoiding the fire, it looks like. And Thor goes flying away. And we turn the page and we see an ad for Uncanny X-Men number 1. And they did something weird with Cyclops' face. Looks like he's trying to be Racer X or something. And Thor goes off to Chronix, the Palace of Infinity. And we shift scenes there. But we see that Gorr's servants have gotten there first. And they're running around and they're skewering all the inhabitants of this city. They're being, run through by these guys with these blades, and watchdogs are kind of dragging them into piles and so forth. And Gorr is there, and he's like,
"Bleed them well, my berserkers. We're going to need every last drop."
And they're dragging them over to this pool
of blood and filling up this like swimming pool full of blood. And Gore is asking, it looks like a priest of these people. It's like,
will it be enough?
It'll have to be. There's no one left.
Don't be ridiculous. I could always cut off your arms and legs.
It'll be enough.
Yes, I thought you might say that. Just know that if I don't return, my black berserkers will tear you apart.
I can't promise you that you won't be killed once you get to where you're going. You do realize that what you'll find going that far back in time, you do know what waits for you there.
I know more about gods and their history than you do, last god of Kronox, because I know the secrets they scream when they're dying. Enough talk. Show me your magic.
The priest begins to, I don't know, he's doing like a spell or something.
This is monstrous. What you've done to the pool of forevers. A few drops of our own sacred blood were all we ever used to travel the time ways, to shepherd the herds of yesterdays and prune the wild fields of tomorrow. We time gods have always been peaceable beings, caretakers of time, nothing more. We never did anyone harm.
In my travels, I have learned that there are two kinds of gods, those who do harm and those who do nothing at all. And I have yet to decide which of them more worthy of my wrath. But soon enough it will no longer matter, as all gods will have one very important trait in common. They will all be dead.
And the god butcher steps into this pool of blood.
Blood.
His shadow is like falling around him like a cloak, which is actually kind of cool. And we do shift scenes again, and we are back in the future, and old man Thor, and we see that he has been skewered by one of these shadow beasts. He's like, "Grog!" And he drops his hammer, falls to the ground, and yeah, it's pretty clearly defeated here, old man Thor, and falls down into the dust. And it's beautiful, evocative artwork here. I think that the artwork in general is really good. We'll talk about that later. And Thor falls to the ground.
What are you waiting for, you idiot beasts? You've won! Do you hear me, Gore? You've won! Thor is beaten! Finish it already! Yeah, I'm too old. Too tired. I can't fight you anymore. I can't!
And then there's this giant flash of light, a giant fizzash. And the all the black berserkers, they look up and they're shielding their eyes. And we see somebody new has arrived. And it is Thor. Present day Thor, as a matter of fact. And he looks like he's seen better days here. He's looking like he's pretty beat up. And he's standing there proud. He's got Mjolnir in one hand. And he's got this sort of mist floating around his feet. And he's like, very simply,
where is the Butcher of Gods?
And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 4. So, cool stuff here. I'm beginning to think that Jason Aaron is one of the better writers that I've seen on Thor since Simonson, probably. This is great stuff here. I'm really enjoying also the art by Esad Ribic, though I do want to note that the artwork looks less and less painted every issue. I didn't really notice it at first, but I'm really noticing it now in this issue. Now it's very, very clearly drawn as opposed to painted. But that's okay. Remember what I was talking about the last time we covered Thor God of Thunder number 3 about the god with a knee where his elbow should be, you know? And that there's a lot less of that in this issue. And I'm thinking this whole issue is really good. Really liking some of the action going on here, very cinematic. I do think that that's one of the things that Marvel Now in particular is going for. They want things to look cinematic because they're trying to get movie properties out of these comics, which I kind of get. There's one thing I don't like about this artist and his art style is that his creatures tend to all have basically the same build. So, for example, the shadow creatures, they basically have the same build as Shadrach. And Shadrach has basically the same build as Gore, the God Butcher. Now, Thor has his own build, whether he be in the future, the past, or the present day. But the creatures just kind of all have the same kind of look to them. And it is a little bit weird to me, But at the same time, I understand that, you know, well, I could probably say the same of Jack Kirby, to be honest. And a lot of his creatures kind of look similar, too. Though I don't think as similar as you find in this issue. Love, 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 love the artwork. I think really this Eastside Rebic is a fantastic artist. I do love how he can shift from one place to another and have it be like night and day. I guess what I'm trying to say here is that I think he does environments well. You know, one minute you're in a ruined, burning Asgard with dusty streets and all this, and the next you're in this very cool, streamlined sort of science fiction world of Kronix. Not every artist can do that. As a matter of fact, Jack Kirby kind of had trouble doing this. You know, he'd go from one world to the next, and they would look very similar to each other. Because Kirby's universe kind of all resembles each other, whether it be, you know, Mr. Hyde's lair or Darkseid's lair. They really look almost identical to each other, and that's just sort of the nature of Kirby. Not that there weren't a lot of fantastic things about Kirby's art, but it takes a real knack, I think, to go from one setting to the next and make them look completely, completely different. And in a story like this one, it's a must. And so I think that they're doing a really good job of that. And you have these horrific things happening, too. But I really, really like this guy's work. And I, you know, like I said, Thor: God of Thunder, to me, is probably one of the better Marvel comics that I've read over the last 20 years. Frankly, I haven't read a lot of Marvel comics over the last 20 years. But when I stopped reading Marvel comics, which was essentially back in 1996, it was the height of the extreme 90s. So really, this is a big step up from that. And I know, of course, that there's a lot of stuff that's been done since then that's really good. And of course, I'm looking forward to covering all that stuff on the show. All right, so that is that. Thanks very much for listening. It's another short show, folks. But we will have, of course, another show next week. And hopefully we will be having Thor: God of Thunder number 5. Once again, if you have any thoughts, questions, comments, etc., please feel free to email the show. The email is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also join our Facebook group and join us there and look at pictures of Thordis with us. Anyhow, thanks very much for listening. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.